Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana, what I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in Wednesday edition of the show. Happy Derby week. Another great day of racing at Churchill Downs if you're into that sort of thing. And we're headed into a big weekend. Great steamboat race tonight. That normally attracts a little bit of crowd on the Jeffersonville side of the river. But always fun to take this stuff in. And great week for Kentuckiana and for Louisville to be showcased. And we don't talk a lot of horse racing or Derby on the show. We have 1 hour together most days when we're not preempted like we were yesterday by Louisville Bats baseball. But we try to focus on IU and our little thing, our Southern Indiana sports scene. But glad you're with us and hope you're enjoying this week. Hopefully you get some time to get to the track or at least get to a Derby party and maybe a little bit of time away from work this week. Who knows? But enjoy yourself and take it in, the sights and sounds of the Kentucky Derby Festival and all that lead up to the 150th running of the Kentucky Derby coming up on Saturday. Let's look at the show lineup for today. A service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Segment one, in just a moment, our Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Later in the show, it's Wednesday, so Dustin Dopierak will check in. Dustin is the Pacers beat writer for the Indianapolis Star. He was at the game last night in Milwaukee, and Milwaukee put it to the Pacers, which forces another game back to Indianapolis. We go on Thursday. Indiana could close it out with a victory, but this just has the feeling to me of a seven-game series. We'll see how it goes, hoping the Pacers can hang on here and get a little bit of an upset win and advance to the second round of the playoffs. But we'll talk Pacers and Hoosiers and a lot more with Dustin coming up a little bit later in the show today. And then later on, Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, he'll check in. We've got some new sectional assignments that came out from the IHSAA yesterday. Some of them expected, maybe a few small surprises as well. And we'll talk through that, maybe some high school baseball as well, with Josh when he's with us a little bit later in the show today. That's the lineup, a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Check them out today for great lunches. They've got sandwiches, salads, soups, all that is made fresh daily and will surely satisfy any craving you have. You might even find something else to take home as they have a variety of dinner packages. So give Honey Baked Ham in New Albany a try. I think you'll be glad that you did. Let's look at the Thornton's text line. Remind you that telephone number, that text line number, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Send us a text. Love to hear from you. Love to get questions for our great guests that join us from you. And just get your phone out. Send us a text message, 502-414-1450. You can sign up for the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards Program and receive 25 cents off per gallon, plus great weekly fuel offers that you just can't pass up. You can download the Thornton's Refreshing Rewards app in the App Store or on Google Play today and participate in that program. And again, send us a text message, that number 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Let's get into some Hoosier headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. As always, a lot to get to, especially after missing yesterday. Had a Bats game during the day, so we'll catch you up on a lot that's happened here over the last 24, 36 hours or so since we spoke last. Luke Goody from Illinois, originally from Indiana, the Fort Wayne area, has been the Fighting Illini the last number of seasons. He officially is committed and signed with Indiana. Indiana announced a little bit earlier this week. Coach Woodson on Goody, he said, quote, Luke is a knockdown three-point shooter that provides length and rebounding ability from the wing position. He comes from a very athletic background with deep family ties to this university. He has competed at the highest level of the Big Ten and is a player we will count on to help us stretch the floor. We are excited to bring his family back to Hoosier Nation. Again, not the sexiest of additions when it comes to their portal ranking or being a huge addition as far as a big name out there in the college basketball transfer world, but he is really big because he is such a great shooter that he makes a perfect complement to some of the other players that have been brought in from the portal so far this season. Still one spot to go. We mentioned earlier this week Alex Hemingway of Castle down at Evansville that has kind of emerged as one of those potential players that could fill a scholarship and could fill a role for what Indiana still needs for this season, the upcoming season, next season, however you want to phrase it. But there hasn't been a lot of news. There was some expectation he might take a visit to Indiana, but I haven't seen dates or anything made official on that yet. But I think a lot of Indiana fans, at least the ones I'm talking with or hearing from, they want another shooter. They know that's been an issue for Indiana basketball now, dating back some years, even during Tom Crean's time in Bloomington. So another shooter definitely needed for next season. Number of other quick hitters I want to get to here in this opening segment. Liam McNeely, former IU commit. I know still a little bit of a sore subject with some Indiana fans, but that seems to have lessened since Indiana has really loaded up here in the last few months with recruits and transfer portal additions. But he is committed to the defending national champions, Connecticut. It was announced earlier this week. So Liam McNeely officially off the board. The five-star player who had a great senior year at Montverde is headed to UConn. So, again, that's a name that I think we'll continue to hear next season in college basketball with UConn and potentially even beyond that in the NBA. Also, Zach Osterman, our friend from the Indianapolis Star, who is with us Mondays on this show talking IU basketball and football. He had some breaking news yesterday that IU has a verbal agreement in place to extend what is now a long-standing relationship and partnership with Adidas for men's basketball apparel, really for athletic apparel across all sports in the athletic department in Bloomington. According to Zach, this will be a 10-year extension, and it's Indiana now has been with Adidas continuously since 2004. And Zach reports that a finalized deal is likely with Adidas in the coming weeks. It's interesting. We used to spend a lot more time talking about Adidas and Nike and how important the shoe companies were to grassroots basketball, recruiting, and ultimately to the college and even the professional game as well. And obviously, they still play a major role. Nike and Adidas, the two big dogs, Nike probably the biggest of the big. But, you know, it is different in this new NIL-led world. I don't feel like, at least from the role that I have here, I don't feel the same importance when it comes to shoe companies maybe that you did 3 or 4 years ago. I think there obviously are some great connections that are forged sometimes through the shoe circuits that are out there, long-standing relationships that probably help push kids sometime to a Nike school or an Adidas school. Obviously, some of these guys go pro, and they extend those relationships into the pro years and get shoe contracts, and the best of the best get their own shoe, a shoe that's branded after them and their specific name. And that stuff still goes on. There's no question about that. But it does seem that for the average run-of-the-mill good college player, even at the high major level, that maybe the shoe stuff isn't as important. And that could be an ill-informed take on my part, but NIL has changed things so very much that I just don't sense that same, oh my goodness, this kid was a Nike kid all during his high school career playing for a Nike-sponsored team. He's only going to consider, you know, these two Nike schools. It happens some. It doesn't happen, to me, it doesn't happen as much as what it used to. So Indiana re-upping with Adidas. This deal should look different than previous ones. I think Zach wrote about that some today in the Indianapolis Star, and it'll be interesting to see how shoe deals work with NIL running concurrently, because that obviously has taken all the thunder when it comes to the ability for college players to make money based on their name, image, and likeness. Transfer portal note, tonight is the final day that the transfer portal is open. It closes at 11:59 p.m. tonight. I guess it closes at midnight, so 11:59, the last opportunity for a player to enter the portal. Players cannot enter the portal after 11:59 tonight and be eligible for next season. But if they're in the portal by that deadline, they don't have to commit by 11:59 tonight. So you're not going to see this unbelievable rash of commitments here over the next few hours as we close out the day. If you're in the portal safely by that deadline, you still have a number of weeks ahead to make your decision and go through the process with schools that you're interested in. So expect maybe a late push today, this evening, with some final guys that have been kind of sitting on the fence with what they're going to do. There have been some big additions to the portal from mid-major college basketball, guys that probably will jump up to the high-major level, some conference player of the year type players from the mid-major levels of basketball, even in the last couple days. And it's possible that there could be some more of those as we get through this Wednesday and head into the Thursday, which, of course, the deadline tonight. One other transfer portal note I want to mention. This is just a remarkable story, but Florida Atlantic transfer Jonnell Davis, who's from Gary, Indiana, is expected to sign with John Calipari in Arkansas, according to Jeff Goodman. Now, again, he's a Hoosier native, way up in the region, played on the Indiana All-Stars team, played for Gary 21st Century, which I believe is still a fairly new high school in Indiana. They are a charter school, and they've been around now for a number of years, and they've had some success. Obviously, if you have players like Jonnell Davis, you're going to have success. But he's from Gary, from 21st Century. He had declared for the NBA draft. It's a remarkable story about how he has progressed through basketball and gotten better and better and better. But Arkansas apparently has offered him a NIL deal north of $1 million, according to a source of Jeff Goodman with the Field of 68. So it looks like Davis is headed back to the college game. People wondered, would he maybe follow Dusty May, Indiana native and now Michigan coach, to the Big Ten Conference? He didn't. I think maybe Indiana flirted with him a bit, never seemed to make connection. I think Louisville definitely maybe had him on campus for a visit, but he is a really big name, and Coach Cal reeling some big dogs in Arkansas. But unbelievable, north of $1 million for Jonnell Davis, who I can remember watching play high school basketball for 21st Century out of Gary. He's in a good situation, returning to college, making over $1 million, or going to the NBA, obviously, with a good chance to make some money. So it sounds like he's going back to college and going to Arkansas, but still just amazing to see the success of someone that is from our state that, you know, started at mid-major college basketball and got to the Final Four, to the national championship game, and obviously has really capitalized on all that success and notoriety. Jeff Goodman also reporting, this was as of, I think, right around 9 a.m. this morning, there were 1,832 Division I men's basketball players, including walk-ons, in the portal right now. That was as of 8:55 a.m. this morning. Of course, the portal has been red-hot this season, setting records. No surprise, but that is a huge number of players in the portal. They're all hoping to make decisions. Some of them are getting recruited at a big-time level, some hoping to go to a similar level maybe that they were in, and some hoping to move up still to a different level. And there will be guys that don't find a home out of the transfer portal, but just a staggering, staggering number of players still in the portal as we get into the month of May. Also, thinking ahead about summer basketball, one of the great things we like to follow is the TBT, the $1 million tournament. Been to the $1 million game in Dayton, didn't know hardly any of the players involved, but with $1 million on the line for the winner, it was just an intense battle in that championship game. We've had John Mugar on with us the last few summers to talk about the tournament. He's the guy that founded this wonderful idea that got to, you know, bought up by ESPN, or I shouldn't say bought up, but got aired by ESPN. They helped make it a bigger platform, make it more widely seen. It comes during a great time of year when basketball is really at a minimum, and so people are kind of hunting for some college hoops or some sort of round ball. A lot of college alumni teams in it, Bellarmine, Louisville, Kentucky. They have all announced that this year they're going to have teams. And according to a friend, there's going to be an IU alumni team this year There was a Twitter account, a social media account set up for a team called Assembly Ball, kind of playing off the Assembly Hall name. And that is going to be Indiana University's kind of alumni team. They've updated their Twitter account recently, got a little bit of buzz if you follow that kind of stuff. So maybe we'll see some former Hoosiers getting together to play in the TBT and try to win $1 million this summer. Hopefully they get assigned to Freedom Hall, which is one of the regionals. Was kind of surprised to see Lexington also be a regional. I was hoping that Indiana, I think there's been a Purdue team before, but Indiana, Purdue, Bellarmine, and Louisville, and Kentucky, was hoping they would all maybe be at the Louisville regional. And last year I went to see the Louisville team a couple times. Crowds were outstanding. Braden Hobbs is going to play with the Bellarmine team this year, by the way. I thought if you could get all those together, the crowds could be super outstanding, but that'll be something fun this summer. We'll see if the Indiana team actually comes together. There's been mentions of that in the past, but it's never happened. But we'll see how things play out here over the next few months with the TBT and the potential for an Indiana alumni team. Thornton's text line is open, 502-414-1450. Again, 502-414-1450. Texter says, is there any more shooters coming for visits that we might get? Alex Hemingway, there's been rumors of that. Nobody else offhand that I'm aware of, but obviously still a lot of fish out there in the portal. I think Hemingway and Goody would be two tremendous late additions with all the talent that the IU staff has already been able to bring in. Texter goes on to say, I personally think over the last several years, shooters are exciting me more than high-ranking players. I agree. There's nothing better than a great mix of some real athletes and big-time players, along with a knockdown shooter or two that you can almost just see the defense break down, see the shooter get forgotten in the corner or on the wing and get that pass as the ball moves inside out for a knockdown three. Not probably a more beautiful play to see unfold in basketball, if you ask me. But, yes, Indiana definitely needs another shooter. Goody is a great get, and Hemingway, I think, would fit perfectly. Of course, Hemingway, a Clemson transfer in the portal looking to make a decision. We'll head to a commercial break. Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star is next. We'll talk Pacers, Hoosiers, and more. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
You know, a basketball hero around here is treated like a god.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
You know, most people would kill to be treated like a god just for a few moments.
Here's Matt Dennison.
All right, back here on this Wednesday show, a couple things. I understand we got knocked off the air for an emergency broadcast for weather test, so glad you got that okay. But Thornton's text line, Texter, I read this the last segment, said, is there any more shooters coming in for visits we might get? Other than maybe Alex Hemingway, I have not heard of anybody. He is the guard from Clemson that is in the portal that's a great shooter. He's from Castle High School down in Evansville originally. And again, as an outstanding shooter, he would be a wonderful addition to Luke Goody in the lineup. I've talked about some of this in the last segment, but I think we got knocked off during that. Texter went on to say, I personally think over the last several years, shooters are more exciting to me than high-ranking players, and I agree totally. There's nothing better than a guy getting set up and one of these big-name players attracting defenses, and you can see it all collapse, and all of a sudden the shooter gets a great look at it. Indiana needs somebody that can consistently knock down those opportunities and more. So I think Hemingway would be great. We'll see how it plays out. Also, the TBT team we were talking about, Texter sends in three players have committed, Troy Williams, Miller Kopp, and Jawan Morgan. That is a great start for Assembly Ball, an Indiana alumni team, it looks like, that's going to compete for a $1 million prize in the TBT tournament this summer. Seeing here, nothing on where they're going to play at just yet. I don't think anything has been announced as far as brackets or regional locations, but Louisville is going to host a regional at Assembly Hall. They're already promoting that. and selling tickets for that. Dustin Dopierak is with us right now. He joins on Wednesdays as we talk the Hoosiers, the Pacers, and more. And Dustin, I got to tell you, it's been really fun to watch the playoffs, to have the Pacers involved, and to have them playing some pretty good basketball. But last night wasn't an example of that. The Bucks basically dominated, especially in the second half, a 115-92 win for Milwaukee. The Pacers still with the advantage in the series. Everything's going to come back to Gainbridge on Thursday. The Pacers could win it at home. They could close out the series at home, which would be exciting for the team and the city and the state. Take us through last night. A tough game, a road game, big-time playoff environment. And Dustin Dopierak, you were right in the middle of it, covering it. I know writing your reports late into the evening.
Yeah, very late in the evening and close to the morning. But it was rough. Really rough for the Pacers last night. Just the way, I mean, they started off really well. You know, first quarter they were up 31-23, and just really, I mean, at that point, really seemed like, okay, you know, the Bucks are teetering here. You know, with Giannis still out, Damian Lillard out for another game, I mean, there's just not enough firepower here for them to be able to keep up with the Pacers. They were, you know, Pacers were making shots. And, you know, they were 7-13 from three in the first half. And then you just saw them offensively collapse. I mean, they just could not get the ball in the middle. Bucks did a really phenomenal job of, you know, just a lot of switching, a lot of rotation, double teams, just basically doing everything they could just to keep the Pacers from getting easy shots inside. Pacers stopped making outside shots. And I mean, you saw that again, that offense collapse. I mean, the offense that led the NBA in scoring all year, 17 points in the second quarter, 19 points in the third. And just efficiency was, you know, under 0.8 per possession. Couldn't make anything outside, couldn't get the ball inside, and the Bucks just, you know, kind of found a rhythm. You saw, you know, all of their, you know, not secondary guys necessarily, but the guys that they expect after Giannis and Lillard to step up really did. Chris Middleton's been phenomenal this series. He had 29 points. Bobby Portis, after getting ejected in game four, went off for 29 points, 10 rebounds. Patrick Beverley was a pain, 13 points, 12 assists. Did a great job of creating. He was plus 36 when he was on the floor. Malik Beasley steps up, had 18 points on 7-11 shooting. Just basically every, you know, all the Bucks starters really came together. You know, Pacers just really had a hard time making anything happen. Even Miles Turner has had a phenomenal series. He was 6-9, but only got 9 shots for 13 points. You just didn't see nearly the level of intensity, but also just the execution just was not there for the Pacers after, you know, from the second quarter on. You saw that just fade away. I mean, they had a really key opportunity. You know, don't know if Giannis is going to be back for game six, but he could. And so they've left the door open. So you miss out on a really good opportunity, a really good chance to close them out on the road. It helps that they get to come back. But certainly, you know, can see that they had a chance to really close this thing out without ever seeing Giannis and missed, you know, may have missed out on that.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak, Pacers and Bucks last night. What will the environment be like at Gainbridge on Thursday, and what's it been like for some of these playoff games? And any idea what a ticket would go for? I've had some people down here in far southern Indiana say, you know, I'd love to go, but these prices for NBA games are outrageous, especially in the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, I would say, first off, they're not outrageous during the regular season. You can find Pacers tickets pretty easy on StubHub without too much of a problem when it's when it's regular season games. I mean, postseason is a different ball game, especially because it's been as long as it's been. But I'm looking at StubHub, man, and you can still get them for $30. So, you know, I mean, obviously it's a hike for somebody coming up from Louisville, and that's just, you know, on top of, there's obviously going to be some fees involved in that and you know, driving up and whatever. But, you know, right now, I mean, get them while you can, is $30 each on you know, in section 200, something like in the 200 level, but still, I mean, that's those aren't bad. So I was expecting to see worse because I just clicked on it right now. If you were to try to go to, you know, a game in New York, if the Pacers make it and the Knicks do, that would be, you know, like 10 times that. So, you know, you're fortunate as far as being able to go to games on an affordable level if you want to go to, games in Indiana, games in Gainbridge. It's available. But, no, I mean, I'm sure it's still... I'm sure that those tickets are going to go, it will be pretty close to a packed house, if not a totally packed house. On Thursday, there were some people that were not expecting it to go six, but they will certainly show up. And again, it just because it's been this long, I mean, it's been 5 years since they even had a home playoff game before this, going back to 2019, obviously because 2020 was played in the bubble. You know, that year it was swept. You got to go back to 2018 since they've had a series like this. They haven't won a series since 2014. So they're going to get up for this, for sure, whether Giannis plays or not. You know, certainly, you know, you're going to see this, you know, the Pacers crowd really lift them up. And it is truly different, you know, the extent, you know, just what, you know, crowds are like in playoff games versus regular season because, you know, I mean, it's just a different level of intensity. It's a there's the stakes are a lot different. You know, it's going to be major. So it's definitely going to be a fun environment to be a part of if you're a Pacers fan. It's definitely worth driving up from Southern Indiana to check out what it's going to be like on Thursday.
Talking with Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star. A couple other NBA things before we flip to IU. Some great playoff series going on right now. I know Philadelphia had just a shocking win last night over the Knicks. Anything else from the playoffs surprise you? Any eye-catching moments from other series so far?
Yeah, there's been some really good ones. I mean, and you know, Philly and New York has been a lot of fun. Obviously, that you know, Philly had a stunning win last night. I mean, the Knicks had a you know crazy win in Game Two when they were down like what 106-101 with like 20 seconds left. I mean, they had the good fortune of a missed call, an admitted missed call by the officials, basically on what should have been a foul, you know, against Tyrese Maxey. They managed to get threes from Jalen Brunson and Dante DiVincenzo to go ahead in that one and take a remarkable win. You know, Jamal Murray with two just killer mid-range jump shots to close out the Lakers. You know, just a buzzer beater in Game Two, and then one that was close to that in Game Five. I expected Denver to win that series, but just how they did it, you know, just how tight every one of those games were, and how the Nuggets managed to just come through with really good late game execution. Was a little surprised to see the Timberwolves just sweep through Phoenix, and I think Denver and Minnesota is going to be a spectacular series. I mean, they had really good regular season games all year. And that one's going to be a lot of fun because Minnesota's the up-and-comer with Anthony Edwards really making his star leap. But, you know, Denver still having, I think, the best player in the world. And Jokic and Jamal Murray being a fantastically clutch player that I don't think is nearly as well-respected as he should be. Obviously, it makes an issue that a difference that he's been hurt most of this year and isn't going to be up for All-NBA or anything like that. I mean, but you see him come on in playoff scenarios. So that one's been big. I think, you know, Cleveland-Orlando hasn't been a fun series to watch, but it's you know, heading into Game 6. I think Cleveland won one really tight last night. You know, Dallas and L.A. has been a really interesting back-and-forth one. So it's, you know, a lot of fun basketball going on in that. Just it's going on in the playoffs. It'll only get more interesting as you get in the semifinals next week.
Dustin Dopierak, Indianapolis Star texter on the Thornton's text line says, ask Dustin about the Lakers, LeBron, and his son. Do you think we're going to see LeBron and his son play together in the NBA very soon?
At some point, I know the guy's just got a lot of pull. And he probably is going to be able to tell the Lakers to use the second-round pick on Bronny, you know, because a lot of times you end up using those second-round picks on guys that end up being two ways. And, you know, he could probably be one, but it's a bad idea. You know, it's a bad idea for Bronny at this point. I mean, he just didn't produce enough at USC to say that, man, this guy's ready. You know, he could use another year in school. I don't know if I don't know if he should be at USC or take advantage of the portal and go elsewhere or what. But I'd just be really surprised. I feel like there's going to have to be people in the league that say, LeBron, you just can't do this. You know, it's just not time for the kid. You know, let him develop at his own pace. You know, he's not ready, and if you really want to play with him, I mean, you've got gas left in the tank. Hang on for another year, another 2 years, something like that. I mean, you know, LeBron was fantastic in these playoffs, even though they lost. You know, obviously, you'd like to see a little bit more in closeout, you know, in late game closeout situations. But I mean, he's still just a force at 39, and there's no reason to believe he can't be the same, you know, caliber of player at 40 and 41 and whatnot. I mean, like he's capable of hanging in there. So if he wants this bad enough, you know, to have that opportunity, I understand that. I mean, if you're a guy that's been around that long, you're that good, and your son's at least close, I understand wanting to have that opportunity. But it's got to be right for him, and I don't think right now it's right for him. I'd be really surprised if anybody, if it's an NBA talent evaluator, said this is a good idea for your son, because you got a good chance of getting him in there, costing him a good college, you know, what would otherwise be a good college experience, and have him just not be developed well enough and, you know, only hang on long enough to play with his dad and then find himself in Europe or, you know, something like that. And not that it's not that that's the worst thing that could ever happen to somebody. You know, Europe's a fine place to play basketball and make some money, but it just doesn't seem like it would be doing right by him if he gets forced in the league this early to try to just, you know, make a dream for his dad. I mean, he's got to be ready. So hopefully somebody, you know, gets that across or that's gotten across to Bronny or the family or whatever, and he gets to make that decision on his own. And, you know, I would just be really surprised if anybody thinks he's ready to make this leap.
All right, Dustin, let's flip to Indiana. I know you've been covering the Pacers in this playoff run, but based on how the season went and how things ended for Indiana, are you surprised at all to see Mike Woodson and his staff bringing in some of these really big name recruits and, I mean, really, really doing well in the portal, maybe one of the best in the country and one of the best in the Big Ten with their portal class?
I mean, not really, because I think that, I mean, I've been saying this for a while, and I think Mike has proven over and over again that he can get the guy that he needs to get. He can get the big name players. That's been the case from the beginning. I mean, I think the criticisms that are there to be had, I mean, I don't know that they've necessarily been solved, but he's always been able to go, you know, again, get big time players. He's been able to operate, you know, reasonably well in the portal. You know, I think just what you still want to see from him that you haven't seen yet is just the ability to, you know, create a roster that's based around a style of play, and, you know, establish that and make it so that it's, you know, sustainable and that you're plugging guys into positions, and that roles are predetermined and that the style of play is predetermined, and, you know, get a roster that fits that. I don't know that this necessarily, who they've gotten is important. I mean, they had to get a lot of players with it, with as many as were gone, either through transfer or through the, you know, Kel Elwer going to the NBA. I mean, they had to go get some guys, you know, but I still think they're probably a team that's going to end up playing, you know, with two posts, with Malik Renew and Omar Bello. And I think that's, you know, I don't know if that fits them long term, but they at least have, you know, some players that allow them to play a couple different ways. You know, they got the two guards in Miles Rice and Carnon Carlisle. I hope I'm getting his name right. I'm probably not. You know, just have two guys that can really create. They can be, you know, top two guards there. One's in the twos and get another wing and Luke Goody who can shoot it. You know, to pair with Mbaku, who you're still going to have. So there's going to be a lot more talent and depth than they had last year. So that's
all
obviously
Dustin Dopierak, Indianapolis Star. I'm sorry, didn't mean to cut you off, Dustin.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I mean, that's going to, you know, certainly help that they've got this caliber of talent and go and get Bryson Tucker as well. They're going to be a lot deeper roster than they had last year. It's just the long-term question is, can they kind of get something that's sustainable? But I think anytime, I think you can always say Mike Woodson can get his guy, you know, but it's what you want to see is a more holistically developed roster rather than something that's just, oh man, it's the portal time, they've got to go get players. But I mean, I think they're always going to be able to do that, even in a short turnaround. They can get their guys because they can sell the NBA. I mean, they can sell development. They have that, and you know, again, they've got good personalities. You know, assistants that really, really hustle. You know, so I'm not shocked that they were able to turn these around and get some commitments. But I think that you're just waiting to see something, you know, long term sustainable.
All right, Dustin Dopierak, very well said on IU and the current situation in Bloomington. Thank you, Dustin. Enjoy Thursday. We'll be reading your coverage, and we'll talk next week here on the show.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me.
All right, Dustin Dopierak of the Indianapolis Star, a great guest with us here Wednesdays each week. Texter on the Thornton's text line, can you give some insight on the Great Steamboat Race? Well, I know it's tonight, and I know that it begins at 6 o'clock, and there's a lady in South Clarksville, though. You know that new area of Clarksville they're developing? It's like a downtown. And I think her name's Jessica, and she's like a historian on the Great Steamboat Race. So if you run into her tonight on the Jeffersonville Riverfront, she can give you all the history about the race that you might want to know. But, yeah, it's a lot of fun, and look forward to being down there tonight on the riverfront for the Great Steamboat Race. And we'll head to a break. We'll be back with our final segment. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, will join us. We'll talk high school sports, a little baseball, and some sectional realignments as well coming from the IHSA yesterday. We'll discuss those and more. Stay with us. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
Welcome back to our Wednesday show. Another note on the Indiana alumni TBT team. They're going to be at the Butler Regional. So I believe that's going to be at Hinkle Fieldhouse, which is awesome. It stinks they won't be in Louisville, but nonetheless, great they have a team, and it's all coming together here pretty quick. Josh Cook, sports editor of the News and Tribune, is with us Wednesdays as well. We talk high school sports with him. And Josh, a couple of weeks ago, it was enrollments and classifications as far as 1A through 4A. And today we can have you give a rundown on some sectional realignments for various reasons, whether it be teams going up or down as enrollment, whether it be the success factor that bumps some teams up or back down. But there will be some changes, some notable changes with some of the local sectionals involving local teams in some of the different sports.
Nothing too huge or unexpected. You know, a couple teams moving up, Providence girls moving up in volleyball, you know, after winning back-to-back Class 3A state titles, they go back to 4A, and they'll be playing, they'll be playing in that 4A sectional again with Floyd and New Albany and Jeffersonville. So, you know, that was one of those that was expected, and along with the Silver Creek girls dropping back down to 3A, you know, they're where they become immediate state title contenders. I think, you know, next year Scott Shane should have one of the best. Class 3A teams, so you know that works out well for him. And then one of the other big local ones was the Charlestown football team going up to 4A. Now they're in the same sectional with rival Silver Creek, so you know that's shaping up to be a pretty good sectional now. There's no East Central anymore, you know, after they were so dominant, they don't have to play East Central in that sectional anymore. So that's good for both of those teams. So I think that sectional becomes definitely more competitive. And, I think it'll be, it should be an exciting one. And then, obviously Henryville had three teams, I believe, that dropped down in class. So they're in class A now. And that class A is boys basketball sectional. Should be a heck of a sectional now because Hinterville will be down in that one, and it'll be pretty much all local teams. So that should be pretty exciting, and maybe even more exciting than it has been in recent years. So, you know, looking forward to that next year, and we'll find out baseball and softball in the summertime. But you know, I don't know how much those will change, but we'll see. But yeah, definitely some teams on the move, and should be exciting next year for the school year.
Josh, we've got sectional pairings as well from Indianapolis that came out for baseball and softball sectionals. For the baseball side, what's the best sectional for a fan to go to? What's the one that lines up to be the most competitive or produce, you think, some of the best games here a few weeks from now?
Yeah, I'd definitely say in the baseball, the 4A sectional at Seymour, you know, it's always going to be good. You know, those teams are always going to be competitive and really good. You know, Floyd Central is established itself as the team to beat, I think, so far in that sectional. But, you know, once it's tournament time, you know, anything can happen. And, I think it'll be the games usually are competitive, and I think this year will be no different. And I think that'll be very competitive and up at Seymour. And, and then looking over in softball, it's pretty awesome because most of the sectionals we have area teams that are going to be at our area schools. I think New Albany hosts the sectional in the 4A. Silver Creek, who's having a really great season, hosts the softball sectional in 3A. And then Providence hosts it in 2A. I think maybe Lanesville hosts it in Class A. I'm sorry, I can't remember that one. But I know the Clarksville host the 2A sectional in baseball as well, so you know it'll be nice because some of our local teams and fans won't have to drive very far to participate in the postseason once the sectional starts, and it's around the corner. I think the I think the softball sectional starts May 20th. It might be the first day. So, you know, we're just we're 19 days out at this point from the start of postseason play in softball.
Josh Cook, sports editor, News and Tribune, with us Wednesdays on the show. Josh, it's hard to believe how quickly the high school sports year is wrapping up. I know the spring is also a chance for softball, track and field, so many other sports. Do we have a chance in some of those other sports that maybe we don't give the attention to it deserves? Do we have the chance for state champs or some deep runs here from some Clark and Floyd County teams and athletes?
We definitely do. Definitely in track and field, I think we've got several several chances for state champions. On the girls' side, Lyric Steele, a Jeffersonville senior, she's one of the best sprinters in the state, and she's you know, finished in the top 5 or 10 as a sophomore, and she didn't compete last year at Jeff because of an injury, but you know, she's back her senior year and she is running great, and I think she should have an opportunity to win, you know, maybe the 100 and the 200 or one or both of those at the state finals. And then on the boys' side, you know, Will Conway is one of the best distance runners in the state. And earlier this season, he ran the fastest 3,200 in Indiana boys' state history. So he is definitely a contender in that event at state. And then his teammate, Brock Conrad, you know, who also plays basketball for Florida, he has just been dominant in the throwing events, the discus and the shot put. He's having a great year. You know, I don't know if he hasn't lost much, if any, in those events this year. So he should be, he should definitely be up there too when the state finals. So, you know, those are some of the local athletes to watch, I think, who have good chances at, you know, making a run at quite literally the state championships later this month or early June. I can't remember when the state track is, in late May or early June. But those people should, those I mentioned, should have a shot at state titles. So good luck to them, hopefully.
Josh Cook, sports editor, News and Tribune. Josh, from a basketball perspective, we're kind of preparing for summer ball. The travel circuit is underway. Recruiting is ongoing. And you know, I know we talk a little bit about recruiting and how that process has changed thanks to NIL and thanks to the transfer portal. But, Josh, headlines the last couple days with the federal government and Congress and the NCAA, and we haven't even gotten into it much on this show, but there seems to be even more changes that could be coming in college sports, allowing players, athletes, student athletes, I guess is the appropriate way to say it, even more opportunities to benefit from their name and their participation.
Yeah, it's definitely a changing landscape in college basketball and just college sports in general. And it's, you know, it's definitely a lot different than when you and I were kids and growing up and watching college basketball. You know, they were all amateurs and not making any money. But now, you know, you have a lot of opportunities to make money, and it's crazy to see some of these kids, like the I think I saw where the Florida Atlantic transfer was the guard was going to transfer to or was going to go to the NBA, but then he can make more money at Arkansas for Coach Cal. So, you know, it's just crazy how that all that is dictating college sports now, and you know, it's just going to be interesting to see what the future is. As you mentioned, it's changing almost every day at this point. So, you know, I hate to see it personally, but you know, it's the times we live in. So, you know, you just got to accept it. But it's definitely changing all the time, and you know, it's who's got the deepest pockets at this point. You know, whether it be Alabama football or you know, maybe Arkansas basketball at this point, and you know, Kentucky basketball is going to be in there too, and heck, Indiana basketball as well. You know, they're with all the transfers they're getting, so it's just interesting, the state of college sports these days.
Yeah, no question. Josh Cook, with us on Wednesday, sports editor of the News and Tribune. Josh, thank you, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Sounds good, Matt. Have a great week.
All right, that's going to wrap things up for this Wednesday show. Happy Derby week. We'll be back with you tomorrow and Friday to wrap up the week. And, of course, a lot of festivities throughout the week and this weekend as well. But we'll be tracking the transfer portal, which closes at 11:59 p.m. tonight. And we'll see what Indiana does with that final scholarship. We're wondering what will happen with Alex Hemingway, a potential shooter that Indiana could bring in the fold with that final scholarship. So there's a lot to figure out here over the next few weeks as you look to the IU basketball roster for next season. And all of that happens while recruiting picks up. Coaches will be out here again on the road very soon at the Nike EYBL, some of the shoe things also. Have a great Wednesday. We'll talk again tomorrow, 11 a.m. here on the Big X. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.